Okay, our next speaker is Rachel Ode, and with co-author Mary Wiedenhoff. The title is Evaluating Forage Quality Predictors and Grazing Calendars for Restored Prairies in Iowa.
Thank you. Current grazing systems in Iowa are characterized by low-diversity, non-native, cool-season grass pastures, occasionally mixed with legumes. The project that I'm talking about today, Grazing Reconstructed Prairies, is a system which is common throughout much of the Great Plains, but highly uncommon as a grazing system in Iowa. The goal of this project is not to determine the most profitable or productive grazing system for Iowa, but to determine an alternative grazing system which balances the need for ecosystem services on the Iowa landscape with the need for economically and socially viable production systems. Prairie was on the Iowa landscape for thousands of years prior to widespread agricultural development. And through various studies of the prairie ecosystem, we know that the prairie offers a multitude of benefits to the landscape, including plant and insect diversity, carbon sequestration, grassland bird and upland game habitat, as well as water quality benefits. Prairie on the Iowa landscape offers an opportunity to move beyond simply an agricultural landscape to a multifunctional landscape. Grazing in Iowa currently occurs in the more sloped topography of the state, off of the Des Moines Lobe. The Des Moines Lobe is this blue part of the map of the state of Iowa, which is the most recently glaciated part of the state and is known for flat landscapes and highly productive soils. The rest of the state has a more sloped topography, and the location of this study took place right off the Des Moines Lobe, which you can see with the red line there, on the more sloped topography, where cow-calf grazing operations are common. White Rock Conservancy is a not-for-profit that is interested in utilizing grazing as a prairie management strategy. They're, however, interested in a broader goal of being an example for how to integrate conservation into a productive agricultural landscape, as opposed to separating conservation from productive landscapes. As a part of a bigger project, I focused on the agronomic considerations of designing feasible grazing systems for reconstructed prairies. I worked on developing a grazing calendar, looking at the changes through forage quality and yield throughout the growing season, the importance of functional group on these changes in forage quality and yield. To answer the questions, are prairie pastures meeting the nutritional needs of cattle? To answer this question, I looked at two prairie sites at White Rock Conservancy. One, a high diverse forb and grass reconstructed prairie, and one, a low diversity warm season grassland. In 2010 and 2011, we sampled every 2 weeks through the growing season, looking at initial growth with no focus on regrowth. We took 8 samples at each sampling date with 5 subsamples of 0.1 meter squared quadrats at each sample. Once per month, we took the whole sample, a composite sample, to the lab for analysis, and the other time per month, we took the sample and separated it into the functional groups, warm season grasses, cool season grasses, forbs, legumes, sedges, and woody material. We took all of our samples to the lab for forage quality testing and looked at neutral detergent fiber, acid detergent fiber, and crude protein. To put this into terms relevant to compare with animal nutrition, we used the equations for total digestible nutrients, dry matter intake, and crude protein to compare with values from the literature based on the National Research Council Beef Nutrition Handbook. We assumed that calving occurred in March for this animal nutrition data. The results from the reconstructed prairie composite sample showed that early in the season, crude protein exceeded the nutritional needs of the cattle. However, through the rest of the season, was lower than the nutritional needs. Dry matter intake was below the nutritional needs of the cattle throughout the season, whereas total digestible nutrients exceeded the needs of the cattle through the season. Despite the fact that we sampled throughout the season, the focus of this alternative grazing system is really to utilize warm season grasses, C4 productive grasses, at the height of their productivity through late June through early August, when cool season pastures in Iowa aren't being productive. So when you look at this data, focus on what happens in late June through early August, where we can see, at least with the crude protein, though it is below the nutritional needs of the cattle, it's slightly closer than later in the season when they're further apart. When we look at the components of the forage, we can see that the forbs have the highest forage quality in all three categories, and warm season grasses and cool season grasses are much lower. In the warm season grassland, we see similar results as the reconstructed prairie, with the crude protein meeting the needs early in the season and falling below for the rest of the season, and the same results for dry matter intake and total digestible nutrients we saw in the reconstructed prairie. We see the same results with the component samples, although it's important to note, as I mentioned early, that this was a warm season grassland with just four species of warm season grasses planted, so the forbs that you're seeing here are mostly Canada thistle, which may or may not be selected by cattle depending on palatability and grazing systems. As I was doing this first part of the study, I began to wonder, what are the results of this study, how can they be applied to different producers with different prairies in different parts of the states? And I began to wonder, how can graziers make adaptive management decisions when grazing prairies? What is the optimal time to graze based on yield and forage quality? What is the appropriate stocking density based on how much forage is available? The question that really drove this research was, what tools are easily accessible to producers to make predictive decisions about what is in their prairie pastures? So we hypothesized that growing degree days, day of year, vegetation structure, or plant composition would correlate with quality and yield and be good predictors. We used three prairie locations, two at White Rock and one at Neil Smith Wildlife Refuge. All three prairies were high diversity forb and grass mixtures. And we had six treatments in a randomized complete block design, and the treatments were harvest dates. We sampled once per week for 6 weeks through late June through the end of July. A summary of our statistical models shows the top three predictors for each of the forage parameters. For yield, harvest date, vegetation structure, and growing degree days were the best predictors of yield. Dry matter intake and total digestible nutrients both had site and harvest date as significant indicators. And dry matter intake was driven by percent forbs, whereas total digestible nutrients was best predicted by warm season grass as a percent of total biomass. To visualize this data, I looked at changes through warm season grass biomass and forb biomass and how that affected dry matter intake. So you can see we have a fairly strong correlation. As warm season grasses increase, forage quality is decreasing, and as percent of forbs increase, the quality is increasing. And this matches the data that we saw from our first study where the components, forbs, were the highest quality. When we look at total digestible nutrients, the trend is similar, although not as strong, with the increase in warm season grass decreasing quality. And when we look at vegetation structure, which was measured using a forage yardstick that we took and looked at 50% of, when 50% of the yardstick was covered, this was the height of the forage structure, and how this correlated to yield. And we see a significant trend, however, it's a much smaller R-squared value than some of our other trends that we're seeing. When I look at the results of both of these studies, the first study showed that we weren't meeting all of the nutritional needs of cattle. And if you look at it strictly from an animal nutrition standpoint, grazing prairies in Iowa is not a feasible system. However, I outlined at the beginning of the project that the goal was really to create grazing systems that balance the need for ecosystem services with the need for profitable grazing systems. So we need to look beyond the fact that the nutritional needs were not being met, look for alternative ways to supplement to meet the nutritions, and start to think about the trade-offs that are between current grazing systems and incorporating warm season prairies into our grazing systems. Trade-offs such as, what are the increases in ecosystem services we're realizing on the landscape as we see a decreasing nutritional quality of the forage from prairie? Another trade-off is, what is the benefit of resting cool season pastures or not having to buy hay in the middle of the summer when cool season pastures are no longer productive, instead using the lower quality prairie forage? So there's still many questions to be answered as to how this will be a feasible system on the landscape, but we can use the data that we have so far to begin to design these systems. So with that, I'd be happy to take any questions.
So animal requirements, is that based on cow-calf operations or based on stock operations?
It was based on cow-calf. And the months since calving was how long since the...
Oh.
So it was based on the cow's nutritional needs since time of calving.
Your nutrient value indices were worse than I would expect. Have you looked at other people's data, or do you have any thoughts on it? Were you surprised at how
bad it was? I was surprised because, like I said, much of the Great Plains utilizes prairie as their forage base, so they must be getting adequate nutrition to make this profitable. I think part of what plays into this is the interaction between management strategies of prairies. So when prairies are burned or more recently grazed, they're going to have new regrowth, which is higher in nitrogen content, higher nutrition. So I think that as we continue to study these and compare systems with different management strategies, we'll see a lot different results in terms of quality.
If you were to compare this to a field that looks like a carpet, tall fescue in southern Iowa and Missouri right now, would you expect it to be better quality or quality a lot poorer?
I would expect the quality to be similar, but the biomass available for intake is so much higher in the prairie that even if the quality of the cool season pasture is a lot higher, there's no forage there. So it seems obvious that this is a better option, at least during the summer slump.
What did you use again to predict run out of intake?
The equation? Yeah.
Did you consider using any of the adjustability in the trial?
I didn't look into that, no. Do you think that's a better indicator for dry matter intake?
Well, I just wonder if the equation for NDF is suitable across all these different species, how much we know for one
single grain. Sure. So I used an equation that was set for mixed forages, but I don't really think it represents the forages that we're seeing in a prairie versus what the equations were intended for cool season and alfalfa pastures. So I think there are definitely better equations out there that I haven't found yet. Yes?
So you say forbs. Are you talking about native prairie forbs or these white clover or red clover forbs?
Native prairie forbs. So milkweed, various species of perennial sunflowers, things that aren't commonly utilized for grazing systems and may not be selected for by cattle if you give cattle the choice to select which forages they want to consume.
Okay. Thank you very much.